Third reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and shamefully treated, and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him. On the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him, and when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has saved you." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Real Christians obey Jesus' teachings. That's what the billboard sign in Fargo says. We couldn't quite remember it word for word when someone brought it up at Wednesday night choir rehearsal, so I checked on the way home. It says, "Real Christians obey Jesus' teachings." And of all the words, which do you think was the biggest? It's not Jesus. It was obey. That's why you young ladies remembered it like this. Real Christians don't sin. I looked up their website. It's gospelbillboards.org. And I poked around on the page for this sign. It actually was a lot better than I expected. But I think you still heard its main message right. Loud and clear. Some Christians are real Christians. So I guess some are fake. And the difference is who obeys better. It bothered you. And I think it should. Because it is not a gospel message. Only two, actually, of the gospel billboards that I saw managed nearly to preach the gospel. One said, "Are you in despair? Jesus is your hope." Another one said, "Jesus offers peace, hope, and rest." But you know, in light of the other sign, there are usually a couple of them together, now I'm nervous whether there really ought to be an asterisk behind that as well. Jesus offers peace and hope and rest to those who are obedient enough. To the real Christians. We could fritter away a few sermons or a few choir rehearsals nitpicking the website, I'm sure. But since it was you young millennials who brought it up, I thought I'd share this little section about what they said about you. Quote, "Perhaps you are aware that the younger generation is disillusioned with a version of Christianity that is propositional but not practical." I'll come back to that. "They're disappointed with people who profess Christianity yet live like those who do not know Christ. They are looking for a genuine Christianity that takes Jesus' words seriously. Most people are not looking for Christians to be perfect. They're looking for people who make a diligent attempt to follow Christ and who will repent when they realize they are not following his teachings." No, I am looking for such people, actually. although I do question whether our critics actually are. But the interesting part of that to me had a few big words in it. They said that there is a version of Christianity out there that is propositional, but not practical. Propositional means that it says something, it professes something. So Christianity that has a formal belief that is defined and therefore has a truth to tell people. The other word, practical, that one we know. That means to put into action. Or say it bluntly, practical means it works, right? Now the implication of this saying is that whatever is propositional is not practical. That's heady sounding philosophical stuff, I know, but simply put, it is not an either or choice like this website is implying. Practical versus propositional is just another way to say something that's been very popular for a while, and that is, I want to be spiritual, but not religious. But that's no alternative to Christian in name only, fake Christianity, right? That's the source of it. Because the propositions, the something worth saying of the Holy Scriptures, that is what leads Christians to action. If you want Christian living out of people, then you have to begin with Christian truths, propositional truths. Now to return to your objection, dear Christians, is this billboard really a gospel message that real Christians obey Jesus' teachings? No, it's not a gospel message. It's a law message. That might be fine and good, except that the deeper you dig, especially in the website, it's a law message that is masquerading as a gospel one. If real Christianity is about the practical, not the propositional, then what would our religion be at its core, dear saints? It would be the law, not the gospel. The billboard says it all, doesn't it? Obey, in all capital letters. Christianity is about what? It's about you obeying. Really, really obeying. Hard. Or you're not a real Christian. And then it slipped in there. Did you hear it from what I read from their website? They said, most people are not looking for Christians to be perfect. That's how they explained it. Well, there we go. There's a little wiggle room, thank goodness. Whew. Because for a second, I was afraid that not even makers of billboards and websites would even qualify as real Christians, as real Christians. But do you not know that Jesus never taught that we should be pretty obedient? He never taught that we should strive to make a diligent attempt to follow him. Jesus said, and I quote, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, gosh, the only way to make that kind of demand a practical thing would actually be to disobey the teachings of Jesus. But even more than that, here's the real rub. How are you and I to obey what Jesus teaches in today's gospel text? Jesus teaches and says, it is necessary that the Son of Man must suffer, must be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now, how do you make that teaching practical? Something that you can do? I don't understand. And neither did the disciples. It was hidden from them, our text says. And this hitting saying that Jesus must suffer and die and rise again, this saying is the gospel. It is the very gospel itself. It is the good news of what Jesus does for our salvation. An utterly impractical proposition for you and I. It is a prophecy. It is a prediction. And it is my favorite P word of all. It is a promise from Him. The seeing disciples were blind, and a blind man saw everything. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, he cries out, and won't stop. And then came a blessed question from Jesus. And it wasn't, what will you do for me? It wasn't, will you obey my teaching, blind man? No, Jesus asks, what would you have me do for you? And he says, receive your sight. That's a promise. A promise, in fact, that delivered the very thing it said to an utterly passive man. Your faith, Jesus says, not your obedience, has saved you. Is trusting in the obedience and the working of another, the obedience of the Son of David. That is what made this blind man a real Christian. Enough. Enough of adults through billboards or any other medium. Enough of adults lecturing the younger generation on what they should want or need. Because it is not the younger generation, but it is those who are in their 50s who have brought as many shades of perversion right past Fargo bookshelves and into our little town six-screen movie theater. Yes, indeed. No real Christian can willingly submit to such filth under the claim that they are adult enough to handle it. And if you have said such a thing, repent in dust and ashes. The younger generation, just like the older generation, does not need a more practical faith. They need faith. They need not just to obey Jesus' teachings. They need to know Jesus. This world does not obey Jesus' teachings because it doesn't believe. It doesn't understand. It does not care about Jesus. What we should see is that the very same blindness that is present among this world's pagans is at work against you and me also. Even after baptism, our flesh sticks with us. Old Adam does not die without a fight, a daily fight. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. Real Christians repent. And real Christians believe the gospel. They cry out because of their sin and because of every other trial in this life. They cry out what? Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The gospel is the good news about the obedience, not of you for Jesus, but of Jesus Christ for you. It is the news that there is a rescue from all of our practices. A rescue that is found in the blessed proposition of God in Jesus Christ, the one that was spoken in today's reading. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem where it is necessary that I suffer and die and rise again from the dead for you. And to this, what obedience are we to render? What can be rendered other than the obedience of faith? Trust, blessed rest. Comfort that the Lord gives mercy to those who deserve none at all. Real Christians clamor for this, like the blind man who shrugs off everyone who says, "Leave him alone, right? He won't take it." Real Christians need and they want Jesus in capital letters. I'm sorry to say, no billboard can deliver on this, even though making his name the biggest on it would certainly be a good start. No billboard or soundbite or meme can ever distinguish the law from the gospel in the troubled or hardened conscience. I question the practicality of such a proposition, to be honest. No billboard has ever been written large enough to convict of sin and deliver the gospel home to a conscience. No sign is large enough for a blind man to read it for himself. Nor does any pagan blind man want to read it. And yet, the Word of God is able to do what it says. As we heard last Sunday, faith springs up wherever that promise is given, in hearts that are plowed up by the rebuke of God's law. And then that faith cries out, and it refuses to be shushed or scolded or turned away from its saving object. A blind man refused to stop shouting out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so likewise, you will recognize faith at work in the cries of the old and the young who want the Word of God spoken to them, who come back and return in repentance to hear the absolution again on their conscience. And yes, who are so unaware and unsatisfied that they too are not perfect Christians, that they desire their Lord's body and blood as often as they possibly can to strengthen and preserve them as real Christians. How else do you obey a promise? How can you obey a promise? One like given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, other than to gladly receive it with joy. Finally, we must say briefly that the billboard does speak the truth. Real Christians do not go back to their sins like a dog to their vomit, or any other worse analogy that we can come up with. There is a new obedience in Christians. The blind man followed Christ. So do we. We do it largely, though, through suffering crosses, with daily repentance, which to the website's credit, they did talk about. Far more than we do by some glamorous or impressive obedience that could satisfy a billboard's demand or God's. But wherever faith is present, then the Holy Spirit also is present, and fruits follow. The Spirit that would divide, though, or distinguish in the church between the real Christians and the lesser ones. This spirit is evil. This is unloving. And it is destructive to the church. That temptation is the very thing that prompted our epistle today, St. Paul, to write to the Corinthians, a congregation horribly divided. Divided by arrogant and prideful people who had so many spiritual gifts. You heard them mention prophecy, knowledge, tongues, miraculous gifts that were common in the early church. But they weren't using them to unite the church or to promote and preach the gospel of Christ. They were using them to puff themselves up against each other. In contrast to this, St. Paul spoke the very famous words about love that we heard again this morning. Now, this description of love, which is beautiful, is admittedly pretty hard to lay over our imperfect or our perverted versions of love. But that is because it is a description, truly, of God's love for us. Who God in Jesus Christ is. Patient. Kind. Selfless in every way. Self-sacrificial. Willing to bear with us. And never failing or ending. That's real love. Christians trust in this love. And that's why they delight in receiving it. They even clamor after it and aren't satisfied till they get it. And because of it, we express our trust in this unfailing love and mercy by imitating it. This is the Lord's way of bringing about new obedience in His Christians. He does not dominate us. Just try that for Valentine's Day, why don't you? Love me. A real husband, a real wife would love me. So do it. That won't bear much fruit. Unlike saying to your beloved, I love you. Which continues daily to win over brides and grooms everywhere. And so our Lord brings new obedience out of His Christians by embracing them in the true gospel, in His love laid down in sacrificial death in His Son. Christ is just as the blind man saw Him so truly in faith. He is the Lord who is love. The Lord who has selfless, continual mercy on us. That is a Lord to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.